This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with the one and only Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. We are live, red hot and rolling. It is August 21st, 2021. It is approximately 8 minutes after the hour. Walter, how are we doing tonight?
Kind of pretty good. I'm doing all right. I'd just like to make one announcement before we start, if that's okay.
Go right ahead.
Phil Valentine. Phil Valentine was a well-known Tennessee news guy on WWTN at Nashville. Passed away today, 62 years old, 61 years old, actually. Nice guy. He was a conservative, and gonna miss listening to him occasionally. He made a lot of sense, and he made a lot of fun of it. Jeff Jackson, as he used to say. And Nashville radio host Phil Valentine, he'll be missed.
Right, and Phil Valentine did fill in for a lot of talkers around the country. But he is an original. But anyway, first order of business. We want to remember those members of the law enforcement community murdered in the line of duty. Tonight we want to remember Police Officer Jason Raynor of the Daytona Beach, Florida Police Department in the Watch, August 17th, 2021. Also, we need to remember Deputy Sheriff Justin Smith of the Burt County Sheriff's Office in Nebraska and the Watch, July 28, 2021. His killer is assumed room temperature. And Police Officer Ella Grace French of the Chicago, Illinois Police Department and the Watch, August 7, 2021. Her killers are in custody. Also, we want to say hi to Little Billy Keebler and the Cellar Savers over at the Yonadosis New York Fire Department. Guys, be careful out there because some of the mobile homes have some propane, and be careful of the meth labs. Anyways, third order business. Talk about something that made the news recently. Oh, before I talk about the news of the day, last week, big shout out to Sean Bergen, Sam Bushman, and everybody else involved with last week's show. We had none other than the future governor of the state of New York, Andrew H. Giuliani, come on for about half an hour. I couldn't make it. Walter, you couldn't make it. And anyways, we had to do some jumping through hoops because we had about four or five people in three different time zones, and we knocked it out of the park. And one thing about this show and this entire network is that we have no money, no budgets, hardly any staff, hardly any time, because we do have lives outside of Liberty News Radio. But we do this because, first of all, we love this, number one. Secondly, we love you, number two. Third, we love this country, number three. And, you know, we're going to fight to our last breath to try to save this country. But anyways, go to the archives, listen to our great show with Andrew Giuliani. And as usual, we put the big boys to shame. You're not going to see Mark Levin have Andrew Giuliani or any other guest on the show because right now he has a new book he's been hawking for God knows how long. I mean, these people kill me. Is that we, you know, take us, for example. We have no money, no staff, this, that, and the other thing. We're not feeling sorry for ourselves. We're proud of the fact that we're always running and gunning in front of these people. We are the tip of the spear because these people are sitting on the laurels, And they're selling books, and they're selling backstage passes to their archives, and they're selling this and selling that. I mean, how much? When is enough, people? And for those that spend the money on these people, guess what? They don't care about you. They have their nice nest eggs. When the you know what hits the fan, they'll be taken care of. Don't look for Mark Levin on the front lines fighting for this country, or Sean Hannity, or any of these other people. But anyways, that's my pat on the back for 75 Radio in this network. But anyways, unless you've been in Afghanistan, you know that Afghanistan is just falling apart. Now, first and foremost, I do agree with President Joe Biden that we need to leave Afghanistan. We have no business in Afghanistan. We have no oil, no other natural resources except lithium, no ports, no good farmland, and an illiterate, low IQ, backwards population. I mean, who wants that? But anyways, we should have gotten out. We needed to get out, but we did it all wrong. Because as soon as we said we're leaving, guess what? The Afghan army, which consists of lazy junkies who cannot read or write, I said, oh, screw it. I'm going to go do what I do best. And it's been hell ever since. It looked like something from the end of the Vietnam War when you had the helos on top of the embassy in Saigon trying to get our people out. But, you know, we spent something like $80 billion on military for building up the Afghan military, and they fell like a house of cards. Like I said before, this population is illiterate. About 10% of the Afghan soldiers can write their own name. That 10% of the literacy rate, 10% can write their own name. These other people were just absolutely terrible. And as a nation building, we have a perfect failure rate. We can't build anything. We failed in Afghanistan. We failed in Iraq. We failed in South Vietnam. We failed in Somalia. We failed in Libya. And we failed everywhere else that didn't make the papers. And nowhere in our Constitution does it say go out and meddle in other people's business. But anyways, we got our own problems here in the U.S. Our nation is looking like the third world. We have no southern border. Our city streets are more violent than Baghdad. We have a pandemic. And the government wants people to wear masks, which is kind of like the people wearing burkas. And anyways, the Department of Defense totally, totally failed. And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, said, oh, we had no idea. Well, no, they had an idea for 10 plus years. They said, as soon as the U.S. announces a pullout, they're going to fall like a house of cards. And the intelligence in this sector of our government, they were like, oh, well, we didn't know anything. Well, that's because the Department of Defense is too busy flying gay pride flags and Black Lives Matter flags. And our intelligence agencies were too busy celebrating diversity and making sure we got enough non-binary people working. But anyways, when we get back, we're going to take Walter's take on Afghanistan. Also, a real winner in Chicago and whatever else is on our mind. Anyway, stay tuned, everybody. 75 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. This is 7-5 Radio on the 21st of August. 2021. We'll talk about Afghanistan, and of course, I hogged all the first segment. Walt, what is your take on Afghanistan?
Well, you know, it happened like 4 days ago. So, what do we care about today? That was my Joe Biden impression of the day. You know, these people, we've been there for 20 years. Almost 20 years, 19 years to be specific. We didn't get anything out of it except, you know, we killed, you know, having our people over there in the Middle East. We killed bin Laden. We got Saddam Hussein. You know, a few leaders, you know, of the different factions that are out there that are violent. But you know, not much else. We've lost, you know, too many Americans in this war, and with our armed forces, even with the pullbacks that Obama did and the cutbacks that Obama did to our armed forces, we should have just took care of business, been done with it, and running the country, and have, you know, oil reserves, you know, for the rest of our lives and our children's lives and grandsons' lives and everything else. But we didn't do that. We went in, kind of exited like the Vietnam War, and now look at it. Kabul has fallen, and whose fault is it? Well, it's a conglomeration of a lot of people. However, just 2 weeks ago, Mr. Biden said that no way is Kabul going to fall. And look how fast it fell. I mean, it was a matter of hours, if you want to look at it like that. And since then, we've gotten 38,000 people out on air transport. We've flown them to Qatar. We've flown them to Germany. We've even flown some in the past 24 hours to United States soil in Fort Bliss. Now, the problem with flying all these people out is there was no contingency plan. What do you do with these people when they land to wherever they're going to go? I mean, it's just the basics, you know, food and water. It's just the basics, you know, restrooms, bathrooms, showers, medication, medical. None of that was taken into consideration because Creepy Joe said this, it wasn't going to happen. We still have thousands upon thousands of Americans. Why they're still there, I don't know. I know a lot of Americans work for the defense agencies and different departments and defense contractors and such, and they get paid a lot of money to be on the front lines. But still, now they're stuck. Mr. Biden just made a mess out of this. And in order to cover some of the mess, they shipped off Kamala Chameleon over to Vietnam to see how she could screw up that nation now. But besides that, Mr. Biden just blew the whistle, not blew the whistle. He blew it on this one. All the signs were there, apparently, according to all the experts, according to all the officials, generals, you name it. They warned him that this was going to happen. They warned him months ago that this was going to happen. In June, they warned this was going to happen, and people started filtering out in July. And it's unbelievable that they didn't push the fact a little bit more, made it a little bit more immediate. But people stayed. They wanted to weather the storm, because this isn't the first time that cities were overrun and then they were drawn back and pulled back. And, you know, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we're done with Afghanistan. You know, 15 years of showing them how to do, how to run a government and how to succeed in the government, 15 years of that. And they just haven't been able to do it. They don't want us. They didn't want us there. I said this on the show a year or two ago. They don't want us there. They didn't want us there. Now we're their lifeline. So, you know, we should have stationed there, built our own cities there, taken over the oil industry, and then, you know, pass it around and own it like we should.
Right. But there's no oil in Afghanistan. That's the thing. There's nothing in Afghanistan.
Well, I spoke out of turn, but there's oil somewhere. Right. I mean, Iraq. You know, taking over a country, that's exactly what we should have done. This kind of enemy that we're fighting in Afghanistan is not like when we took over Germany and put out our army bases and armed force bases in Germany. This is something that we had to take over the whole damn country. And nobody wanted to do it. And by the time Trump got into office, it was a freaking mess. No, you know, you didn't hear much about Afghanistan while Trump was in office, because it was just put on the back burner as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I tried to do some background on this, but what Mr. Biden put in charge of this, you know, like he said to George Stephanopoulos the other night, well, that happened 4 or 5 days ago. Let's talk about something else. You know, I mean, how ridiculous can you be? You know, it's like, you know, you come home late at night on a Saturday, you know, and your mom is giving you what for and about to crack you on. You say, well, I was home on time 4 days ago. I didn't get any credit for that. You know, it's just, you know, when you get the Alzheimer's disease, you go backwards. You know, you don't stay the same. You go into your childhood state and back into infancy. So, you know, his infancy started with the ice cream cones and stuff like that, sniffing prepubescent girl's hair. And, you know, it's just a ridiculous situation. And like I said a moment ago, they shipped Kamala Chameleon off to Vietnam to see if she could screw up that country now. You know,
Or maybe she went there to study how we exited Vietnam 40-something years ago. But anyways, I mean, this was screwed up even from the start of the Bush administration. Here's my simple and cheap way to take care of business. You know, we brought these people, all these terrorists to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and we gave them a nice place to eat and sleep, and they ate very well and played soccer. It was a resort. You know what? If you're going to bring them to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, guess what? You take them and you execute them. It's like, all right, well, we caught you doing this when, guess what, your enemy combatant gets, you know, we're going to put you in the ground. And then, in Afghanistan, we should have went looking for Osama bin Laden. We should have killed him, which we have. And my thing is we should put his, we should have brought him back alive if we could have. Or better yet, you know, hang them from the public square in Times Square. I'm sure New York's finest, New York's Braves would have been ecstatic. And then we should have dropped a whole bunch of bombs on Afghanistan and tell Al-Qaeda, you do this again, we're coming back tenfold, and leave. That's the Scoop Stanton way of taking care of business, because we have no business building other nations because ours is falling apart. But anyways, but Joe Biden, he came down this week from Camp David from vacation, gave his stupid speech that he blamed everybody but himself, and went back to Camp David. And then he was criticized for going back to Delaware, but he canceled his weekend trip to Delaware. I mean, nobody's running this country. I guess outside invisible forces are running this country, because it's sure as hell not Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I mean, how is she going to lead the country from Vietnam? Well, you got any final thoughts about Afghanistan? Oh, wait. Also, I forgot to mention, we're letting these people grow opium overseas. And, you know, we have an opium problem. We have a serious drug problem. But, you know, the powers that be said, oh, well, we'll let them grow opium because they can make some money. And if they don't make any money, then they'll be mad at us and they won't help us. Meanwhile, we're giving them fertilizer and other things to grow other crops with. So guess what happened? A veteran from was on the Charlie Duff podcast, the No BS News, and said, well, Al-Qaeda was taking the fertilizer and making IEDs out of that because you can use fertilizer as explosives. But anyways, when we come back, we're going to talk about this country going to hell. Stay tuned, everybody.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
New England is bracing for Hurricane Henri as the storm's effects could be seen as early as Saturday night. The Category 1 storm is expected to make landfall Sunday afternoon on Long Island or in southern New England. Hurricane warnings are in effect along Long Island to Montauk Point and for New Haven, Connecticut to west of Westport, Massachusetts and on Block Island. The storm's effects are expected to be felt throughout the northeast inland as far as Albany, New York. If Henri is still hurricane strength when it makes landfall, it would be the first direct hit by a hurricane for New England since Hurricane Bob in 1991. And new data says COVID vaccinations are again on the rise amid the current spread of the Delta variant of the virus. White House COVID-19 data director Cyrus Shapar tweeting Saturday that 1.05 million doses were administered on Friday, the third straight day over 1 million given. More than 60% of Americans 12 and up are now fully vaccinated against COVID. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaroot. John and Chelsea Jubilee with Energized Health are regular guests on my show, sharing their breakthrough science of intercellular hydration. The results? People lose fat fast while still eating many of the foods they love. You can too. Plus, supercharge your energy and boost your immune system. You'll look and feel years younger. It's simple and natural without painful exercise. How do I know? Because I've only been on the program for a few short months, and I've already lost 25 pounds of inner body fat, and I've gained 10 pounds of muscle. But don't just take my word for it. Go to energizedhealth.com and check out hundreds of amazing testimonials. For all the details, click on the red button. Watch the masterclass at energizedhealth.com. It's free. Or cut to the chase. Join right now at 888-444-8895. Toll free, 888-444-8895. Mention War and get 40% off. 40% off! Go now to energizedhealth.com, 888-444-8895, or energizedhealth.com.
Country music has lost a Hall of Fame voice. Lance Pry reports.
Blue-collar poet, singer, songwriter Tom T. Hall, the man who wrote 12 number one hit songs and 26 that reached the top 10, died Friday, as reported by his son Dean.
I remember the year that Clayton Delaney died. Doo-doo-doo.
The storyteller was 85 and passed at his home in Franklin, Tennessee. That's about a half hour's drive south of Nashville.
If I've got one wish, I hope it rains at my funeral. For once, I'd like to be the only one dry.
From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
And anti-vaccination protests have taken place in France for the sixth straight weekend. Reuters reporting more than 175 people took to the streets in multiple cities to protest the health passes that went into effect this week. This is USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. This is 7-5 Radio. Check us out, 7-5radio.org. 7-5radio.org. But anyways, you know, forget Afghanistan. We can't build anything, any other nation building, because we suck at it. We can't even keep ours afloat. I mean, the government wants us to comply. We got to wear a mask. We got to get shots. We got to do this. We can't go to a gym or a restaurant in New York City anymore unless we have our shots and our papers. You know, papers, please. Where's your papers? Where are your papers? Look for New York's sheriff's office to start asking people for their papers. So anyways, we have a southern border just wide open with people from God knows where coming in with God knows what to do God knows what in our cities. And look for them and their kids in a school near you. And this country has turned into nothing but tribes. We got people from all over the world coming here, and we have nothing in common. We don't have a common language. Michael Savage said it perfectly: borders, language, culture. And especially where I live, it's went from a melting pot to a chamber pot, to steal from Dr. Savage again, because we have all these different ethnicities and we have nothing in common, and we don't want to associate with these people. And, you know, we've heard a billion and one times that white people are racist, but I'm telling you, folks, you got people from other sections of the globe who hates other people 10 times more than any white person ever has. I mean, just Lee Peterson said white people have done more for black people than black people have done for themselves. But anyways, come up here to D.C. We'll hang out with some Asians, some Middle Eastern people, some Indian people, and see how great you're treated. But anyways, back to Chicago, which has a higher body count than Afghanistan or Baghdad at any given day. Talking about the death of Ella French. Her partner was seriously wounded. And these two brothers were responsible. Turns out they're doing a traffic stop for a traffic violation. And these two people decided to open fire on these heroes. And then the mother of these two pieces of debris went on Instagram to talk about what had happened. And it wasn't a grieving mother saying, oh, I feel sorry for the officer's family and all my, you know, it was a tragedy. No. This mother was wearing a low-cut blouse with her you-know-what's hanging out, telling us there's another version of the story. I mean, what's the version? Police, cops perform traffic stop, guys shot the cops. End of story. And these two brothers had were in possession of a firearm they shouldn't have, because one, they were convicted of felons, two, is unregistered firearm, which is a no-no in Cook County, Illinois. So then this wonderful mother goes to the hospital where one of her sons is getting treatment, because I guess he was injured during arrest. And that shows great discipline of the Chicago PD, because while you and I, if we were involved in the apprehension of these people, things probably would have been different, but I don't know, because you were in two shootouts and you missed on purpose. But anyways, this lady should be thanking the Chicago police for not turning her sons into Swiss cheese. But knowing the Chicagoland justice system, because I was lived there for a year working with the U.S. Navy as a trainee to do something on a boat, the Chicagoland justice system is a revolving door. I'm surprised these brothers got no bail. Well, what do you say about the trash in Chicago?
Well, you know, Chicago's been a hot spot for quite a long time. And nobody seems to be taking care of the business that needs to be taken care of in Chicago as far as the street crime goes. The street crime is way out of whack. The murders, the cop shootings, the cop shooting at the perps shooting at the cops, perps killing the cops. You know, it's so silly. And then you get somebody, like you said, that low-cut T-shirt mama who has to repeat how many times that, you know, she's a black woman. And, you know, if you got to say what color you are when the cameras are on you, you're an idiot to begin with. Number two is that you want to defend your sons. Go ahead. Be more than happy. But don't make it out like they're angels. Don't ever make it out like it's not their fault. Don't ever make it out that it's always the cop's fault. Everybody's infallible. But when you murder a cop, you know, there's got to be some border in there that has to stop. It ain't their first rodeo. Number, you know that. It's anybody who shoots on a cop, it's not their first rodeo. They've been in trouble before. That's the reason why they carry a gun with them, so they don't get robbed by the monkeys on the street, and they don't get arrested by the cops on the street. It's just a horrible thing that happened to this young lady. She had an entire life ahead of her, let alone a career. An entire life. She had a newborn baby. You know, this trial is not going to be a mess. This trial is going to be cut and dry. These guys are going to get life without parole, and that's going to be the end of it. But in the meantime, you still have the people standing up for the criminal in such a strong but idiotic way. This is the law of the land. If they don't like it, I hear there's plenty of room over in Kabul now, you know, with all the transports are taking 40, 50,000 people out, you know, out a week. So they'll have plenty of room and board over there if they want to go and live underneath those the Taliban, because the Taliban ain't going to put up with that. They just put them up on a pole, tie them, and shoot them.
Right, or throw them off a building.
But yeah, throw them off buildings, you know, whatever they got to do. Put them in a pit with cobras and snakes and that kind of nonsense. And, you know, it's a little bit different. So if they don't like it, we'll give them a free ride over to that country. We'll even send them a couple of hundred grand in American dollars to help them out when they get there, because the American dollar doesn't mean anything over there anyway. People just don't seem to look around the world and say, holy cow, it's a good thing you didn't kill that cop in Kabul or Moscow. You know, they don't say that. They don't say that because be careful what you ask for. But they're gone for life. You know, everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame when the spit hits the fan. And that's what she got. You know, I'm surprised she didn't have the big hoopy earrings and hair extensions in. You know, she just went in for everybody to look at a cleavage, and that was that. She didn't have time to get her nails done. So,
right.
which is usually the case. I mean, you know, tell me I'm lying and I'll hang myself right now. But, you know, right. You got to admit, you know, if it happens to a redneck family, they're wearing what they always wear, you know, two tops and tank tops and baseball hats. But, you know, when you're in the hood, if something happens to your family, you got to go to the beauty parlor and get the extensions, get your nails done, you know, get your gold fronts in, big ass hoop earrings and everything. So, listen, it is what it is. As far as I'm concerned with this case, it's, you know, what they call a slam dunk. You know, they did it. They know they did it. We know they did it. But, you know, they'll go to trial and try to be martyrs. You know, they'll go to trial. Somebody like Jesse Jackson will have a meeting with them and say, listen, you know, you're never going to get out of jail, so you might as well go to trial anyway, and we can make these out to be martyrs, and we can talk about more white privilege.
Exactly.
And I'm not sure, you know, people are going to write to me tomorrow calling me a racist. But it's true. I mean, it's true. It's not even stereotypical. It happens. It happens in every city in America. Same thing. You know, you got a black kid shoots a cop, and then all of a sudden he's a martyr because the people all of a sudden don't like the system, you know. But if it was the other way around, you know, they want to hang the cop. So listen, you know, our justice system, you know, works most of the time. Times that it don't work, well, we'll have to figure that out, and that's what you have appeals for. But right. In the meantime, you know, instead of spending money on hair extensions and hoop earrings and stuff like that, and, you know, purple hair and you know, put it in their commissary account because they're going to need it.
Right. If you look at the lady, she does not look too much. You know, for a mother of like two grown men, she don't look that old. So that probably tells me she was a teenage mother. And from the ages of the sons, I forget what the ages, they're what you call Irish twins, one right after another. But, of course, there's no dad involved. So, anyways, when we come back, we're either going to do mailbag or talk about We Are Not the Enemy. Stay tuned, everybody. This is Soundfire Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. Walter Yurkow. Walter Kiwi. Here's Walt and Scoop.
And we are back. News of note, next week we're going to bring back retired Drug Enforcement Administration Special Agent Larry Ray Harden back on the show. He'll be calling from my old stomping grounds, Rota, Spain. But anyways, tune in next week. We'll have Mr. Harden live. You will be talking to us 2:00 in the morning his time. Anyways, we're going to make things a little bit lighter. We're going to open the mailbag. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or donations, please send it to Scoop Stanton. That's all one character at 75radio.org. That's Scoopstant at 75radio.org. What's in the mailbag tonight?
Well, we got a few that I'm going to pick, and I think some of them are pretty true. So I'll get started here. There's one that says, "Dear Scoop, stop talking bad about your wife." Now, I tell you that all the time. You know, I tell you that all the time. But, you know, it's, you know, something that you've got to work out with her. Stop talking bad about your wife. She's a saint having to put up with your fat, drunk, lazy ass, and your kids deserve better. And I agree with that, and that's from a concerned mother-in-law. You know, whether it's yours or somebody else, it's a concerned mother-in-law. I think she has a point.
How does that mother-in-law know I'm a fat, lazy, drunk? But anyways, all right, I'll talk to
maybe she called me and I told her. Maybe she called me and that's what I told her. I don't know.
All right.
Okay. Dear Scoop. Okay. This is okay. Well, you're getting mail from the men too, apparently. When are you going to have more guests on, like Sean Bergen? Well, you know, we don't call them guests. These people are family. But he goes on to say that he's sick and tired of you talking all the time. That you're annoying, and it sounds like you know what in your mouth. I don't know what you're talking about. Toothbrush, maybe? Because we miss Jim Lancia, and they want you to get off the air. Well, I'll have to stand up for that one. You know, Jim is good. Jim is a lot of fun. You know, he comes on the show every now and again. Maybe we're overdue, but he comes on the show. So, and they're telling you to get off the air and to sign the Italian Stallion from Bridgeport. Now, is that Bridgeport, Connecticut? The Italian Stallion. So it might be Stallone. Who knows?
Nah, he's born in on Manhattan Island. But anyways, for the Italian Stallion, everybody else, Mr. Lancia will be making a return possibly sooner than later. He's trying to get his YouTube channel back off the ground, but he just keeps stalling and stalling and stalling. I told him he has an open seat at the table, just like Sean Bergen, because they are part of the family. But he wants to come on, but he has to get his YouTube channel off the ground by stalling. But how convenient, you know, trashing me and signing the Italian Stallion from Bridgeport. All right, anything else? How come you never get any emails from like angry fans or disgruntled people?
Because they love me. They love me. All right, then we got one here from somebody that just signs himself off as a fan.
Oh,
says that you know, he knows you do, or she, you know, whoever the case may be, you do remote broadcasts. Uh-huh. You want to know if you're going to do any live remotes from Afghanistan? That the fan would gladly pay for a one-way trip, and that's okay because then you can jump on one of them B-88s and fly back to Fort Bliss or something, or Qatar or something. You know, get go to Germany and mix in with the crowd and do some live feeds. That ought to be interesting.
So a fan is willing to pay for my one-way trip to Afghanistan for a live broadcast.
Yeah.
That's mighty white of them.
Are
you sure it says a fan and not like somebody says like, oh, go screw yourself or some troll or something like that? It says a fan?
Well, you know, a fan could be anything, you know. Could be a troll. It could be your wife.
All right. Anything else in the mailbag? I'm afraid to ask. Anything else in the mailbag?
Nothing else that's worth mentioning. The other stuff is kind of stupid.
we get into read the mailbag, or we got a couple more minutes. If you want to, you got anything you want to get off your chest? Anything in the world of one Walter Yerkew?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there is. Monday, this coming Monday, me and my don't know, what would you call them, a movie crew? I don't know. We are going
film
to
crew.
Film the trailer. Okay, film crew, video crew, film crew. We will be videoing the trailer to my upcoming documentary that will be out, oh, probably early spring. So the trailer is all ready to go on Monday. And it should be kind of interesting. We're having a little tough time with the music because everybody's got their hand in your pocket and they want to squeeze your thigh when it comes to music. So in the coming months, we may be looking for an unknown talent to play background music, according to what my trailer consists of. The trailer is going to be mostly me driving around town and telling you guys what it's about, and there'll be some flashes in it of other things and newspaper headlines and stuff like that. So we're filming it on Monday, and then of course, you know, it's got to go to the cutting room and it's got to go to the editing room. You know, it gets everything but oral sex on to this trailer. And when it's done and finished, we will be putting it out, and we're just going to run with that until the documentary's finished, and then we'll put them both together and probably sometime in April of 2022.
Wow! Do you have a title for the do you have a title for this documentary?
What's that?
You have a title for this documentary?
Yeah. I do, but I'm not going to reveal that until it comes out.
Oh.
Not on air. You know, not on air.
Right.
Yeah, I might tell your mother. I might tell your mother-in-law when she calls me again, but I'm not going to tell you.
Nice. But anyway, look for that, and folks, it should be good because I had no involvement whatsoever in this movie. Anyways, check it. But the email is scoopstanton@75radio.org. So we got while making documentary movies, that should be very, very interesting. Also, we got Sean Bergen. He's actually starting the fall. He's going to make more appearances here on the 75 Radio and on the Political Cesspool. He had some other business obligations he needed to take care of. I said, well, you know, put it out there. No, he's like, I want to make some money. Because apparently some of my fans are not the most they're the most thrifty type of people, or cheap. I got some cheapos in my family. My wife complains I'm cheap. Well, when you make all the money and you want to keep it, but she makes none of the money and she wants to spend it all. And she likes to say, well, I enjoy my money. Oh, okay, good, but you don't make any money. You make, you know, make a couple of dollars above minimum wage, and you work about 20 hours a week. But, you know, I'm out here hustling and bustling. And anyways, I'm just rambling. But so we got Sean Bergen. He's going to be coming back. Jim Lancia, one of these years, hopefully before he passes away, will have his YouTube channel back up, and he'll be back on the show. Also, we want to wish a very belated special birthday to one Robert Anthony Plant. Robert Anthony Plant is celebrating his 73rd birthday, and he is still touring. And Robert Plant is those type of guys where women just love to be with him, and guys just want to be with him. He's able to wear a pair of hip hugger pants, leaving nothing to imagination, and a half shirt, and guys will say, like, yeah, he's a man. But anyways, happy birthday to Robert Plant for getting me through my younger years as a teenager, as an adult, and now as a middle-aged man. You know, because I got a buddy, his name's Frank. As he's getting older, he went from very hardcore heavy metal to, like, light and easy. Not me. I'm still listening to stuff from 20, 30 years ago. Little Billy Keeble can attest to that. But anyways, Robert Plant's still going strong at 73. Hopefully he has another 73 years in him. And another thing about Robert Plant is that, you know, he started with, like, your hard rock back in the day, but now his tune is very different, very more mellow, because he doesn't want to be a one-trick pony. He wants you know, thing about him, he likes to experiment. But anyways, we made it for another week. Walter, we'll talk to you next week with one Larry Ray Harden. For Walter Yerkew, this is Peter Scoopstead reminding you all, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. Talk to you next week.
Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.
Okay.